6:20. I'm gonna have a sip of this Celsius.
I go last, slammed one and some Alpha Brain. My eyeballs are literally like fluttering right now. I'm fucking wired. By the way, can I get a little bit of my money back from Better?
Why are you always begging for things,
bro? Because I was hot. I was happy. First week I won like 5 bands. Like, you gotta realize I was in the positive, and then things just came crashing down. But they offering them 200x lineup. So whether you want to give it to me right now or not, my shit gonna hit.
Yeah, you're gonna have to play that through the app. But let's see if you can hit
200x.
People are winning 100 times multipliers.
Bro, Mikey won a fucking 200x, and that Randy insane, guy, the new guy at the office, he won a 300x.
That's what I'm saying.
It was
people $60 and like $18,000. It's so much fun to see the enjoyment that people have winning these, and how much more fun the consumption of the sports become.
It's more fun for me because, like, you're a room over and it's like pleasing to know that I'm just taking money from you.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So I stopped using every other app and I am solely using Better.
It's the best fantasy sports app, which you guys can now download
right
on the App Store and start playing Better Picks today.
Absolutely.
Win some money. Make the sports more fun to watch.
Rob this guy with me, please.
Listen.
Even just a little too. Don't go eight. Just rob him. Just something. Just hit something.
See if y'all can take my money.
Please.
Just getting comfortable to feel extra lathered up, extra comfortable on camera so that I really can let all of my emotions out during this pod. Because sometimes if you're too tense, then your cortisol levels will start to rise up.
And you,
then
you, it gets, hey man.
It gets
hey,
in
hey,
the way hey, of hey, you hey, being man. Able to speak your truth.
Shut the fuck up. Action.
Imagine just starting a podcast and action.
All right, we're just gonna fire off some questions.
So bro, look at this fucking homeless piece of sack of shit, dog.
He's not having a good day. Be nice.
Oh. Oh, what the fuck? I didn't know.
I've never seen you like this, to be fair. I just
got back from the beach. Look like he about to ask for some money.
That's so crazy.
I'm just recording him so the viewers can
see.
Like, bro, this is how people in Puerto Rico show up to work. Like,
why now? Bro, you look nigga, halfway homeless supermodel, homeless bodybuilder at Venice Beach.
How do you work this? Is it in 4K?
What do you think we're gonna do? Like, what do you think we're gonna do that for? Like, how old people now do that with phones. What is it going to be for us that we're just out of touch with?
A crazy-ass car, some flying shit.
It's going to be like some AI communication or like working with a robot or something weird like that.
Oh, man.
It's crazy because I was writing this. That's part of my stand-up bit is a little section about that. And I was sitting there thinking like, damn, no matter how much I don't want it to be me that I'm going to be like the old person like that doesn't know how to use technology, it's going to be me.
I'm embracing it. I'm already embracing it. And honestly, yeah, I like same. It. It's better.
I haven't learned anything about AI or no ChatGPT, no nothing.
I'm already seeing it, bro. Like using TikTok and like Snapchats and all types of shit.
Check that out. We'll show the viewers too. Augmented reality video games. Crazy, man.
Huh?
Really crazy. You put on a headset and you see the room you're in. So it would be this room right here, and he's playing zombies in the video. And zombies are fucking coming through the real windows in your real room and through the doors in your room. And you have to, it's insane. Nah. You have to kill the zombies, but it seems like it's in.
There's no fucking way.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
See, you're going
to
start getting.
People need to go outside.
AI girlfriends and shit, and then nobody's just ever going to get no pussy.
Honestly, like, that's already a thing, no?
It's kind of low. Yeah, AI bitch?
Yes, it is. Yeah, actually, it's a girl that we know that made quite a bit of money off of it. She Ooh. Was the kind of the trendsetter. I think her name's Caitlin. It's Ishan's girlfriend. Made quite a bit. It's concerning. It's not good.
I want me an AI for when we stuck in Puerto Rico. Dark Dorado Nights. Sexed me.
What like color would you make her and stuff?
I could use a green. We should start a podcast.
Yeah, that's good because I feel like we're really saying stuff here.
Yeah,
that's good for the people of the world to hear.
Right.
Because
how you doing, buddy? How you feeling?
You're about 12 days out at the time of recording this from your next flight. How you feeling?
Crunchy, man.
Am I the guest on today's episode?
You're the guest. Oh,
welcome to BS with Jake Paul. We have a crazy guest today. Mm-hmm. It just so happens to be me.
He's literally crazy.
This is the pre-fight episode. We're gonna get into all things fight camp, the opponent, how I'm feeling, sparring. Goals. I don't know. I actually don't know what we're gonna get into because you guys are interviewing me.
Are you tired of working through the holidays?
Nah, not really. But I feel like, I guess Thanksgiving. Yeah, I haven't had Thanksgiving in so long.
That was a little sad. I'm not gonna lie, that was a little sad.
It was sad.
It's terrible.
It was really actually like, I got sad actually.
I did. I felt worse for you because you're like the most family oriented. Me, I'm just fucking thugging it out, but it was kind of sad.
I got sad because I was like, I'm kind of disappointed in my family, to be honest.
Why?
Because, bro, if I was like a parent of a kid who just like worked every holiday for like years straight and I like never came to visit them on their birthdays or holidays or anything, like that's kind of fucked up.
Okay,
if it's like one, okay. If it's like two, okay. But it's been like three birthdays, three Thanksgivings, and like two Christmases.
But you literally work through every holiday. You work through New Year's, summertime, fucking Christmas, Thanksgiving, your birthday, whatever's in fucking Hanukkah. Like, they don't know when to come. Maybe.
How many times a year do you think you see your parents?
Like almost only really like four times a year.
Four times. How old's your mom?
60.
Let's say she lives to 90 if she's lucky. 60, 70, 80, 90. You got 30 years. 30 times 4.
120 times.
You got about 90.
120
times. Well, good thing I'm not a math major.
That's crazy, bro. I saw this on social media where it's like, yeah, like they did this equation. I'm only seeing my mom 120 more times. No, but see, it's going to be different once I retire.
That's terrible. That just made me sad.
It's good though to put it in that perspective.
But that is why I like specifically this year, while I had the chance, took 4 days of spending a lot of time with her, taking her to the U.S. Open.
Yeah, which,
that was probably the happiest she's ever been. Like, she was so fucking happy. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was very happy too. It was awesome.
That's great.
But yeah, I'm kind of joking about being disappointed in them. But I was pretty sad that they weren't. That I didn't get to see my family.
How's camp going?
Great. Phenomenal, man. We started off strong and are finishing strong. And I guess I'll go into specific details because fighters obviously always just say, like, it's going great. I feel so good. But for me specifically, this being the second camp with Larry Wade, my strength and conditioning coach, my body just feels so much stronger in all the right places where I had weaknesses that he identified in the first camp, which was the Nate Diaz fight. And so we were working a lot of those things in the first camp, and it was really a struggle. And I was like growing and getting better and growing the muscles in the certain places, specifically like my core, my hips staying low, explosive type of stuff. And going into this second camp, I had that base already and I was mentally prepared for what he was going to put me through, which made this camp feel just like second nature and something that I was like a lot more prepared for and used to. And I just noticed my athletic ability with each camp just going up and up and up and up. And that's making a massive, massive difference.
All while the duration of the camp is going down, right?
Yeah, I guess I used to do about 12 to 14 week camps because the theory was it would take me that long to get in shape and to build up the muscles.
Who the fuck did you have around you?
Well, bro, you have to think like I came from not doing this and we couldn't train as hard. We couldn't do as many rounds, couldn't run as hard. Like I literally went from not being able to jump rope from 5 minutes.
Was it just repetition or like what was the switch?
Yeah, the repetition and building the muscle in every single part of your body, like in the calves to be able to jump rope and just being like out of shape and fat and like partying too much as a Disney YouTuber to go to the complete opposite lifestyle. It took, I mean, it's been, I've been pro now for 3 years and 9 months. So
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, my body's still just getting used to that. And when you first start sparring, getting hit, your body's not used to that. So like waking up and feeling sore, you need more recovery. You need more ice baths. You need more rest. And now it's like second nature to me. And this has just become my whole entire lifestyle. It doesn't even feel like camp. That's what's interesting about it. This last camp, I started to feel it with Nate Diaz, where I was like, this isn't even camp. This is just what I do now.
Another day at the
office. But now in this quote-unquote camp, it's just like, this is my life. And I don't really want to do anything else. I don't really like know anything else to do. It just feels so right and feels like the path I'm on to becoming world champion, and I'm loving the progress.
That's amazing. Are you taking this fight as serious as you can, or do you see it as like a tune-up fight?
It is certainly not a tune-up fight. No, I'm taking it super, super, super serious. You can't joke around in this sport, man. That's the thing, is anyone, right when you think you're safe and comfortable, anyone can get you on your worst day. Yeah. And taking it very seriously. This guy has the most wins out of any opponent that I've ever faced. 3-time Golden Glove champion. More KOs than anyone I've faced. So he's a dangerous guy. Strong guy. Throws combinations and power punches. And right when you get comfortable. It's funny. I watched the Tommy Morrison documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a perfect thing for me to watch in this camp. I just like stumbled across it, and it was basically talking about the like one fight where it was like not as big of a name guy is when he got caught.
You have way more to lose then.
And you have way more to lose, and like you're not as motivated. And so I literally wrote in my notes like, don't be like Tommy. And I just like think of that.
It's like fivefold for you too as well, because not only do you have so much to lose in terms of like what you're trying to showcase something right now. You're taking a more traditional route. It's not a massive draw. It's not a big stadium. It's just you taking the traditional route. So you lose to this guy, it's like so much more crippling.
It's like the worst thing you could ever do. And but it's a high risk with little reward. But however, the reward,
it's a compounding reward,
will come in the future. It's delayed gratification here.
But it's and the roles are flipped for him. So that's why it's even more dangerous at times to fight an opponent like this, because he has a lot to prove. This is his chance to put himself on a world stage. And you know, this is
it's a win-win.
He's bringing everything to the table.
It's a win-win for him.
Yeah.
Really, regardless.
You gotta stand on business.
If he knocks you out, if he's the first person to knock you out, that's it. He just started a whole new career for himself.
Yeah. And like overnight. Superstar, I guess.
Oof.
But yeah, that's what makes it interesting. And I've worked every single day as hard as I possibly can, because I know that. And I know that everyone wants to take this positioning from me, and that he's going to be fighting for his life. Another grown man who's been doing this his entire life. He's not just going to be a pushover and kneel down by any fucking means. You know, his family's gonna be there, his kids are gonna be there. Like, this is the toughest sport in the world for a reason, and I'm not gonna allow myself to be complacent or be comfortable just because he's not a big name.
Right. You could take like easy ass fights though in hindsight, and like still make it look like what it is. Like, you could go fight some fucking dumbass YouTubers or like these little influencer boxers that are trying to make a name. Like, what is making you take this route and like just risk it?
To become a world champion. And again, it goes back to, I think when I said that, people thought it was a joke, or that I didn't really mean it, or I was just saying it to gain more respect or create more drama or articles. But I seriously meant it, because I know I have the capabilities, the mindset, the physicality, the athleticism to actually be able to accomplish that. I've been in the ring with world champions, so I know the level that they're at, and I know how they work. I know how they think. I know how they operate. And so really, that's what I'm here to do and to cement myself in the history books, to go against all the doubters, all the people who said I would never even make it this far, and to prove to the next generation of kids that you could be doing something completely unexpected and all of a sudden shift careers and become the best at it if but you really why? Set your mind
like
to
you,
it.
You could retire today. You could retire today and never work another day in your life. Like, what is it that keeps this like resilience and like I want to fucking do it? You could retire today.
I think it's a lot of things, but it's this first and foremost, I think it's a relationship I have with my spirituality and my destiny and what I believe I was put on the earth to do. Like, I've always felt called to a higher being and to a higher reason of being on this earth and to operate and to help people and to uplift others around me and to inspire the next generation beneath me, because I feel like I never had that. Like, I didn't know who to look up to or a real role model who was just as human as I was. I'm from, you know, Westlake, Ohio, blue collar family. Dad's a realtor, roofer, mom's a nurse. Didn't know what a fucking LLC was until I was 18 years old. Didn't know what an agent, a manager, any of these things. They got terrible grades. Wasn't destined for much. Went through puberty late. He's not going to be an athlete like he dreamed. All the NFL hopes go out the window. He's only 5'7", and he's, you know, a freshman, a sophomore. You know, what is this kid going to do? I feel like I didn't fit anywhere. I don't like school. I want to be there because I feel like that's the majority of kids these days.
Very misunderstood.
Is misunderstood, failed. Their parents are saying, why aren't you getting good grades? Why aren't you getting into college? What's wrong with you? Why are you getting in trouble? And to be the actual living proof that there's more for kids out there, and eventually they should have hope to wait and hold on for what their destiny, you know, the destiny that awaits them, and that all the answers won't be figured out right away. But at any given moment in your life, whether you're 21, 22, or 40 years old, if you want to completely shift and do something that no one ever thought you could do, and you show up the first day and you fucking suck at it, you can't even jump rope for 5 minutes. You don't even know what a difference between like a jab, a right, and a right hand and a hook is. To, in, you know, 5-6 years or so, rise to the highest ranks of the toughest sport in the world, then no one should have any fucking excuse on why they can't do something. And I believe that is very powerful, very motivating, very inspiring for this generation of young men and even young women who probably feel like lost in this social media world. Everything feels like so easily attainable. Nobody wants to put in the actual work. Oh, and that's the beauty of it, is I have every minute of it filmed for a documentary. So like, they're going to see all the ups, downs, you know, times where I'm crying, times where I'm bleeding, all the shit I went through. And I feel like I'm a very relatable person. And if I can inspire that one person,
absolutely,
who changes the world in a positive way at all, then that makes me happy. Because money is so, like, you could burn it. Like, if all the money I have in my bank account right now, they could just freeze it. Like, I don't even own that shit. That's what's crazy about this whole entire thing, right? Is all of us, this everyone listen, bro, you're digital money. Yeah, that shit's in a bank account. Okay, well, like, what if an EMP hits and we don't have Wi-Fi and the banks get shut down? Like, we're not even in control of that shit. So technically, that is not real. That's invisible.
That happened in Canada recently where the Canadian government froze certain I think it was truckers' bank accounts. They froze their bank accounts for political reasons.
But exactly. It's fucked.
Nah, that's crazy.
We're literally like sheep in so many ways, and just like working for this world and the government. And obviously, we're numbered people. Like, why is it that I'm an animal? I'm born and all of a sudden I'm branded and labeled with a social security number and I can't go anywhere without it. Like, we're not free in this world. That no, this is obviously a discussion for a different time, but but basically what I'm saying and getting at is that none of the money and shit matters, but like stories matter and history matters and affecting others in a positive way matters. And that's something that nothing and nobody could ever take from me. And once you get the money, it's great. It's a fucking tool. It's, you know, it provides freedom. That's, I want to be able to be free one day to do whatever I want, to not be beholden to a certain system, whatever it might be. All of that has great positives and, you know, protect my family. That is a big motivator of mine for sure. It's smart to get money. People should get money. But once you have that, it's like there's a bigger meaning that is revealed if you choose to look at it of, cool, that's great, you have that now, but like what could you do now? How can you help others? And that's the second mountain. The first mountain is, you know, getting that success, getting the financial stability. And then once you get to the other side of it, you see all these other peaks and you're like, I want to do that now. And that's just how I am. I don't know. Like, I just always am driven for more. And there's so much evil in this world that it needs to be balanced out. And that's my destiny, I feel like, called to, is to like always balance out all this evil and to tell the truth and to, you know.
Do you ever feel like, or like at least in any moment of your career, you've bit off more than you could chew, like not only just in boxing, but because of the fact that you're such a like non-traditional way of thinking, like even just voicing things like this that aren't necessarily supposed to be voiced when you have the platform you have? Do you ever feel like you bite off more than you could chew, or you have?
For sure. Definitely, all the time. You know, even just like involving myself in politics and like political discussions and in certain controversial topics and stuff.
Because you don't walk the line.
Yeah.
At all.
Because
you don't walk the line.
And I think that's why for a long time, people really misunderstood me. They didn't get me. They thought I was like arrogant, ego, dickhead, like cringy, all of these things. But I was really just being my authentic self in a world 5 years ago on social media where everyone was capping.
Very inauthentic.
And like putting on a show. You know, some of the biggest celebrities, the actors, like acting like they care about the world, saying shit that they don't mean. And now we've moved into a world where everyone senses that bullshit. Everyone can read behind the screen, see how an actor, these big, you know, people we look up to, even presidents, whoever it might be, are just fucking bullshitters. And there's so much content out there about that now. And so I went from being misunderstood because I was being authentic and not trying to get people to just like me for some fake version of myself, to now I feel like people are like, oh, I like Jake now. Like, look, he's changed.
Their brains matured. From that, like,
no,
it's their brains that
they
matured.
Just see that I'm authentic, and authenticity is what people are drawn to in a world full of lies now. Even if they don't necessarily agree with what I say, they now respect at least that I'm just saying what I actually think in my mind.
It took me a while to realize your goodness. Your goodness isn't something that, when you think about good people and people, you talk about major pillars in your life being ones about helping other people. You want to spread a positive message. You want to help the underdog. When you think of the stereotypical person that's good and outwardly good, you think of somebody who is with a big smile on their face and very caring and soft and vocal about their goodness. And even as your friend, I think it took me a little while to really see your goodness, because it doesn't look on the surface the way it does for the stereotypical good person. And I think even as your friend, it took me a little bit to realize, like, oh man, you really, I think it was, you know, we had a conversation back at the old house, and I don't know if my mic went out or if it was just my headphones. There we go. I was talking about to you about not knowing what I wanted to do with my life at the time, and maybe thinking about, like, I work for you, and I was thinking about maybe not wanting to work for you anymore and going to do something. And I was so nervous about you, like, being upset that I said that to you, that I didn't want to work for you. And you looked at me and you were like, dude, I don't care. If you leave tomorrow, you're like, my only goal for you is, like, I want to sit on a ranch someday and for all my friends to be rich with me and happy. And we have neighboring houses on a ranch somewhere, and we're just enjoying life. You're like, if that comes by way of me or if that comes by way of somebody else, I don't care. I just want to support you in the journey there. And it, like, that was like the real click of a moment. I was like, oh man, like, you want only the best things for me in life. And you don't care how I get there. And that was like really, and that, bro, that's after 4 years of knowing you that I really took, like, it clicked, that it was like, oh man, like, you only want the best for those around you. So I guess the point I'm making is that, yeah, your goodness isn't, it takes some time to really truly see.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's weird because that's where it goes back to, like, the sociopath who's, like, instantly likable and, like, wants everyone to see what they're doing. And Elon Musk was just talking about this, like, everyone, a lot of people, like, try to do good just so everyone can see it versus, like, mm-hmm. just actually doing good. And yeah, like, I could just, like, talk about so many more things, but it's like, that's not the point of why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it to be praised mm-hmm. or to, like, receive something back from it. It's like when someone gives a gift, like, Christmas is coming up, right? Like, you're giving a gift to your brothers or your mom or whatever it is, oftentimes to, like, receive something back.
Stare at them
from
while
that.
They open it. Like,
yeah, like, you want to get the feeling almost more than they do or some shit.
Yeah,
like,
I feel like perception weighs too heavy in, like, midst of, like, doing the right thing or, like, doing kind things, I guess. I feel like it's fucked up. I think your career, though, for a while when you were in that world of, like, just anyone finding a reason to hate on you kind of helped, because I'm sure behind the scenes, like, you started to not care about public perception. Like, everybody's just going to have a negative opinion. So I feel like if you were to do good, it would kind of not even be for that same reason as, like, all these people who are instantly likable, their heads get clouded. So they build off of that. Like, that's what they're building off of, like, getting that same view every time, and doing more. The world is like, fuck this guy. And you still find a way to do something good, but you're not even doing it for... If like, a lot of the damage was, like, it almost looked irreversible from, like, the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like maybe there was a point in time you just...
I think that's a part of what people like and are coming. I think that there's a large group of people that like you and they like your story, but they're a little bit shocked that they like you and they like your story. And I think what that comes from, I was reading a book recently and it was talking about, like, the psychology of what we like in athletes. And we like to see in athletes somebody that gets hit on the chin, knocked down, and gets back up anyway and overcomes that adversity, stands up and wins. We don't like to see the athlete. They were talking about Floyd Mayweather, and they were discussing why towards the end of his career, a lot of people didn't like Floyd Mayweather. Now, there might be other reasons, but one of the reasons they were saying from a psychological standpoint is that he didn't get hit a lot. And people don't like seeing an athlete not get hit. They like to see, because it's like a miniature version of what they want for their life. You want the story of somebody that gets knocked down, gets up anyway, and then is victorious.
If you look invincible, it gets old.
Yeah. Like, and you've definitely gotten knocked down in your life. You know, you've...
Yeah, a lot.
I got knocked off the side of the earth.
A lot. I've been... down bad. And yeah, it's more, that's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm relatable. It's like the Rocky story and, like, all of these things that, you know, being the underdog, like you said, and quite literally having to overcome it is so much greater. I think that's why Tyson Fury is so beloved, right? When he got knocked down by Deontay Wilder, gets up out of nowhere.
They gave him a 30-second count.
And literally, like, and just...
gave his ass 30. Dead. It was like, like, bro, fuck that.
But, yeah. And I think people are... coming around to that. But I guess the whole point there was like, why are you doing this? You know, you could retire and all of these things. But it, yeah, it's also a challenge, like, to myself. You know, it gives me purpose as well at the end of the day. And I'm so young and have so much I want to do and accomplish and to work towards. I feel like I'm going into my prime work years and only getting sharper, better team around, better everything. And that's also very exciting. And
bro, your work ethic, I'm not gonna lie, recently I just realized how much it inspired me and like how much I had shit backwards because of the simple fact that like you work every day. You go train twice a day, Monday through Friday, fucking working out on Saturdays. And like you've been doing this shit nonstop 4 years straight since I met you. And I realized in the little time of my break where I'm like trying to get my life together and figure this out and figure that out, I was like, bro, who am I to feel like I deserve vacation time when the right next to me, a room over, has everything you could imagine, like from a public eye, it's like he has everything. It's like, why the fuck are you still working? Why are you going working out twice a day? Why are you doing all these things? I'm like, damn. So what the fuck am I doing taking a break? What am I doing taking today off or like not going as hard as I can because I went hard yesterday? It's like, bro, just like.
I think it's because you've derived so much meaning and purpose from the work itself. Like this whole thing that you're building is you've said it on record many times before, like it saved your life.
Yeah.
So it's the thing that instilled so much purpose into your life that you chose not to end your life. So that's the thing that's going to sustain you probably till the day you die. You're probably not going to ever stop.
Do you have a retirement plan?
In my head I do, but the closer I get to it, the more I'm like, I don't know about that. Cause like the plan is like, you know, mid-30s or something, just like disappear onto a ranch.
I just be wanting you to retire sometimes, bro. I know it's fucked because you're doing so great, but like, bro, we don't do shit. You can't ride a jet ski. You can't snowboard.
No, I know.
You can't do shit. And I just, damn, bro. Like,
yeah, that's definitely the boxing side of it, but definitely gonna enjoy the fruits of all the labor at some point.
That is very true.
In the future. You know, that's what it's all about. That's what it's really all about. So, there will definitely be time for that. I just think, you know, and I encourage all 20-year-olds, while you have the youth and momentum and time to fail, you know, this is the best years to get it all out of your system before you have kids or family or whatever it might be to pursue those dreams, to take big risks, to just uproot yourself and move to a city for opportunity. That's the best time to do it.
Don't move to LA.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah,
no.
Yeah, especially now. Jesus.
You'll
Christ.
Become a coke head in 48 hours.
So just fuck start up. Your timers. Literally, once you touch down.
Soon as the wheels land, bro, somebody at the airport, you know how they pick you up? Somebody just has a bag of coke for you.
Bro, you want to know what I'm super upset about?
What?
Is when I flew to Los Angeles when I was 17 years old, like the moment I got there, I was like filming myself on this camera that I had at the time on the airplane. And I like got there. And as I'm getting off the airplane, I'm like holding the camera up and I'm like, hopped off the plane at LAX with a dream and a cardigan.
Nah.
Welcome to the land of the fame excess.
Nah.
Am I gonna fit in? And I turn the camera down to my feet and I like step off the plane into LA.
And you did that in a public area.
Yeah.
Wait, what? You said you're upset about it. Did you like lose it or something?
Yeah, I lost the footage.
Remake it. Just shave your beard.
Bro, that would have been the best documentary footage. Oh, and then I stepped off the plane. And I was like, I have a dream. I know I'm going to make it here. It's fucked. That's how the documentary could have started. But
there's a lot of great, great documentary footage. I don't think the world is ready for it. Back to Andre August real quick. Was there a part of your ego that was bruised deciding to accept a fight like this coming off of some of the biggest fights in boxing history? the biggest name fights, the biggest prize fights, the biggest money fights, the biggest viewership, to then make the decision to take a step back on that front and choose something that you know isn't gonna perform as well from a viewership standpoint. It's not even on pay-per-view. It's a free fight to watch. Was that difficult from an ego standpoint?
I would say yes and no, but I think it's just like managing your own expectations. So that's what I did first, and putting myself in a position to understand how to build a house, mm-hmm. right? And using that analogy of a lot of people are watching me build this house, and it's like putting in all the final furniture and the decorations and the chandeliers. That's what I did first with my pay-per-view and the big fights. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, bitch ain't had no walls.
Yeah, what I'm doing now is like building the actual foundation, putting down the floors, the cement, you know, the basement, the plumbing, the pipes. And that is what people are seeing. And they're like, oh, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? You're fighting this random ass guy. Like, you fell off, Jake. And I think it's hilarious because if people by now don't think or know how calculated every single move that I make is mm-hmm. and how good I am at planning and playing this chessboard, mm-hmm. then they are fools. And obviously most people are. So that's me giving them a lot of credit. But like the fact that they think that they're like my managers mm. or that they know what they're doing,
it's
or any of these
newfound
like
found boxing yeah, fucking purists. Like,
but even like, you know, the influencer world of boxing, which wouldn't exist today without me fighting Nate Robinson. That's the only thing that brought it back to life. That I, you know, like I am the game. I am the influencer boxing game. Without me in there, that it's over. It's done. There's no more of it. And I'm also not that game. I am a young boxing prospect with real talent and skill, with aspirations to become a world champion. So I think it's funny that the influencer world tries to like tell me how to or comment on what I'm doing here as if they know a fucking penny's worth of how to operate their own fucking careers. And that's the echo chambers of life and everything I'm used to. So it's like, okay, cool. Like, I know this is going to come, but people will see. They will see in the long run the strategic move that I'm making here. And I almost feel like I shouldn't even need to explain that, but I guess you do have to explain everything to the peons these days, and that's why the back of the neck says, I wish I could explain.
There's peons, you heard it here first. So BS,
and that's being nice too. They probably aren't even valuable enough to be peons,
and
but
it blows my mind though, because the they be backing as their holy mecca have never done like a single thing that even amounts to one fight that you've done, and then they'll like come and have so many things to say. It blows my mind. I don't
yeah,
get
they
it.
Try to make comparisons, and it's like,
you just can't.
To me, it's like,
you just can't.
It's like, okay, yeah, I don't even want to go into it. Well, yeah, it's like stooping to their level.
Confirmation bias. You'll find what you look for in life. If you want to make somebody out to be something in your mind, you can find the things you need to confirm that in your mind.
It's, yeah, no, that's definitely
with spit
what happens.
And lube,
but
it'll go down smoother.
But I will say, the boxing purists and the boxing journalists who have been very critical of my career and the moves that I've made, they have actually been the ones to have the different look at this. And they're like, oh, wow, I actually respect this. And there's been more love than ever from the boxing community for this move of me taking this route of a young boxing prospect, which again, I don't think they actually thought I was serious about when I said it. So yeah, just managing expectations. Of course, there's going to be the haters and all of these things. But to me, I'm looking at the long run, and I'm looking at the love and positivity that I will get from this. And when I knock him out, you know, none of
what round you giving yourself?
None of the talk matters. I think Man, I'd be surprised if he made it out of the first round.
Really? Really?
I'd be surprised.
I'm taking all
bets. I'm too electric, got too much of a vibe and energy in my system right now. Too strong, at peace, focused, laser dialed, sharper than a bitch. And I had a vision where I
did him bad.
He's on the ropes like this, like Jesus cross.
Ooh.
Ropes like this, like arms in the ropes.
What punch was it? Ground. So we could see if it's really real.
I didn't see the punch. I just saw the aftermath. But
bro, he's got crucified.
But
I'm sorry, George Dinko.
Love you, George. But yeah, I'd be surprised if that happened. And who knows? You know, we'll see how the guy comes. I just know what I'm capable of and how I'm feeling.
I saw Devin Haney had a lot of good things to say about it in an interview. That was really cool. Like, has anybody reached out personally that you find like super cool? Like anybody reaching out, showing love?
I'm trying to think of like if there's one person that stands out above others. You know, I think a lot of people get in contact with me through various forms of networks, and it's more so the word on the street that comes through the team a lot of the times that I end up hearing about.
Do you miss any of the antics? This is a quiet fight on the press front. Do you miss any of the shit talk and the antics that you've always had in your fights?
Fucking troll.
I do a little bit, yeah. Just like making funny videos, but and just like messing with my opponent.
You live for that shit.
It's just so much fun. and mostly to see my opponents like get so mad at it and to see it like get under their skin. Cause
I wish they could see how you curate it. When you be in a room giggling on your fucking phone fight week, fucking like a weird idiot, just
coming up with the jokes,
tweeting the worst shit possible, just seeing crisscross applesauce in the middle of the floor. And then it's knocked out. It's like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah. I do miss it, but that's we'll be. You coming, this is intermission, you know.
You coming into this one calm? You just gonna be respectful? Be you not gonna bring no fire? Slap that on stage? Nothing?
I don't know. Come on. We'll see. We'll see. Like, we'll see how things play out. Gosh. You know, it also like is based off of their energy. You know, like that's the thing about me is. I usually just give like an even amount. I dish out what my opponent is as well, and then I finish him off.
You be doing bullshit, bro. You don't dish nothing even.
Yeah, but they like throw the first punch, and then I like
no. You be calling mamas and prank calling their coaches, doing all type of bullshit.
Yeah, but that's because they started something.
I don't know, man.
But we'll see how it goes. I'm just gonna have a fucking blast on fight week, like. I'm just having so much fun in life, dancing around.
What's your post-fight celebration plan?
I'm trying to go to Disney World.
That's right. Look, have a little drink, or are we back on our sober train?
I don't know. I feel like I might cross that bridge.
The Chardonnay wouldn't hurt nobody.
I feel like I'm going to cross that bridge when I get to it, but I will say, I don't think I've had a lick of fun this whole fucking year. Maybe an ounce or two. But if I normally have like 48 ounces of fun every year, I've had probably like 6 ounces of fun this year.
It's not like you need 48 ounces.
I might even it out. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Drinking just like doesn't feel the same anymore. Because really like before when I was younger, it's like to fill a void and to feel more confident and to run away from problems and pressure. Obviously there's the fun part, which is great,
superpower,
which is great when you like use it as like celebration, but we definitely have the tendency to go a little bit excessive.
But it's a happy medium of it actually being a superpower, and I'll stand by that. Maybe I'm just young and dumb, but if I see a beautiful woman and I got a little couple nerves in me, Once I throw back a shot, bro, it's over with.
Yeah, but see, that's exactly what I just said.
I can talk to a brick wall.
But that's what I just said. That's what I'm saying is wow. is the confidence of like being in a room, in a club, or talking to other people, strangers, introducing yourself to a group of people. You feel better because it gives you this false confidence. So I've internally gone deep down into why am I not as confident as I should be, healed that. Gained more confidence from healing that, and don't need the alcohol to feel like that in the room. Like I'm at the Drake concert, literally in Miami,
dancing, shucking,
and I'm the only sober one having a fucking blast dancing. Fucking
yes, but bro, I'm incredibly fucking weird. I could go into a room with 50 people I don't know, walk out with 50 best friends, and everybody having a good time. I could walk into a fucking funeral and have people laughing. But there is some days when I walk into a room with y'all, my dogs, 5 years fucking going strong, I'll just have my head down. Or I walk into a room with strangers and have my head down. I don't know where I get this fucking anxiety sometimes, but it's so crippling. So a little Casamigos, a little glass
like,
of wine.
That's like, that is exactly why you shouldn't do it.
Bro, but like,
you're using it as a band-aid for anxiety. That's
okay. Okay.
You're not getting to the root of why you have the anxiety.
The root is I'm fucking weird. I don't know. I'm young.
Yeah, I think. In moderation, it's fine, of course, but that's that's not good. I mean, you're identifying it yourself that you're using it to mask the anxiety.
But one thing that helped me make that transition was like giving an intention and speaking the intention into the alcohol before I drink it. Almost like saying a prayer or grace before you eat your food, like thank you, blah, blah. I literally was like,
Dear Heavenly Father, I'm about to get crunk and drunk.
No. It's not to a God. It's just like my intention for this alcohol is to celebrate and to have a little bit of fun for one night and to just let loose a little bit because I've been working really hard. And if you like set that, then the next day when you want to drink more, you're like, okay, no, like this we don't need to like.
I see. Yeah, that's.
We already celebrated. So what are you doing here? So. That's helped. There's a lot of tips and tricks, but
I might be an alcoholic.
You've gotten better. You were, yeah. I think.
You think I was alcoholic?
No.
Yeah. See, it's weird to use the word though. Like,
yeah. Do we definitely have an over dependence on vices? Sure.
For sure.
But with alcohol specifically, I don't think you were an alcoholic, but that doesn't mean it's not worth keeping mind on. And
me and liquor just had a good friendship.
Yeah. Someone says like, did I get more out of alcohol than it got out of me?
Oh, yes, I did, for sure.
I think me as well. But it was a pretty close fight.
Yeah, I had to slow down when I woke up in jail.
It was a close fight.
I was just like, bro, how am I here? Bro, I woke up in jail.
Halloween
with a prison jumpsuit on.
You want to tell the story? Irony. The irony is crazy. I'm not gonna, that's so
bro, shut
funny.
Up prepared.
Bro, I'm not going to get too deep into it. Just know I'm leaving the party. Whoop-de-whoop, fight, boom, bada-bing. I wake up in a fucking prison, a jail with a prison jumpsuit on, and then when I get home, I'm going through my phone. My homie texts me, "Yo, you're on the news." I watch the news clip. The lady goes, "He's really playing the role." Like, what the fuck, bro? That's when I slowed down. So, yeah, I got more out of alcohol besides that night, and I think I got drugged because I don't geek up like that. Maybe. I don't know.
It was a Ryan Garcia fight last night, which we used to talk about his performance. Also, you said at one point after he won, you looked at it and you said, good. You were really rooting for Ryan. You said, boxing needs more superstars, not more fighters. And I think that was what stood out from what you said after the fight.
I'm so happy for Ryan. And it's great that he continues to soar and to rise because boxing needs big names to, you know, usher the sport in and to continue to make it a massive thing and a massive name and to create more big fights. So it's better for the sport that Ryan Garcia continues to win. It'll create more money in the sport. It'll create bigger fights, bigger opportunities for other people, bigger names that will come underneath him, hopefully one day if he has a promotional company, all of these things. And so while Oscar Duarte, his opponent, maybe a great fighter. If he wins, it's like, well, we don't really care about this division.
How do you feel about
shit
Ryan's
anymore.
Performance, though?
Yeah, it's
I don't think he had it.
It's at the end of the day, he stopped the man and didn't take too many big punches. I think a lot of people, the commentators specifically, were just like criticizing him, like, what is he doing? What is this? But at the end of the day, I will say, whatever you train for in a camp, the game plan you have, whatever your coaches tell you, at the end of the day, they're not in the ring, and shit is different as the fighter. So he started doing this like Philly shell disappear thing.
He was turning his back.
Kind of. I mean, it was like a sideways thing, but it was working. And the commentators are like, what the fuck is he doing? Well, Oscar was frustrated, started hitting him in the back of the head, almost got a point taken away. Those left hooks weren't landing. And it was this weird strategy that was stopping him. And then all of a sudden he's, you know, moving around the ring, getting Oscar kind of comfortable, like, oh, Ryan's not throwing the heat anymore. He just found a way to win. Like, that at the end of the day, that's what the sport's about. That's what the sport's about. And I think the commentators were terribly biased and saying, like, even the unofficial scorecard, they started giving rounds to Oscar. I couldn't believe it. I think Oscar maybe won one round before he got stopped. But on the unofficial scorecards, they were giving him like 3-4 rounds. Mm. When he wasn't landing the more effective punches. So people have Ryan under this microscope and hate on him again for like the social media side of things. And it's bizarre. And he's a young kid who's getting better at his craft and had the balls to make the biggest fight in recent boxing times. Maybe didn't go out on his shield. But he's in the ring. He's a superstar. He's good as fuck. And he just stopped a kid who's 26-1. So, yeah, like, it's easy to fall into the hate things of him. And that's kind of the echo chamber that's been created. But, like, fuck that, dude. He's a fucking legend as far as I'm concerned. He's the new... He's what it means to be a boxer today. It's to have the social media following. It's to bring new eyeballs to the sport, and it's to put it all on the line. Moved up in weight, took on a extreme challenge, going through trials and tribulations, the ups and downs. Let's see if he can come back and maybe beat Tank, maybe beat some of these other guys. So I just have never been a hater. I really haven't. Even if someone hates me, I'm just like, all right, bro. So
who else do you think is doing that well on the superstar front, on the social front, on the making noise front in boxing?
I like a couple of things that I'm seeing. I like how Shakur is talking more shit to people, kind of going crazy. Devin Haney's talking more shit, which I like, calling people out. He's making the big fights happen against big names back to back to back. That first and foremost is the biggest thing, I think, and most important thing. So I like what Devin's doing there, just being about the action. Because if you actually look at it, the most active, like, big-name fighters out of everybody right now, it's literally me and Devin. Mm-hmm. Like, we haven't stopped for the past, like, 2 years. Just going. So that I have a lot of respect for because I know how hard that is. Ryan, obviously, is bringing his massive following to the table. And on the come up is Juana, who's signed to MVP, bringing in, you know, his tens of millions of followers.
He's literally a superstar and a boxer.
And he's viral, signed with Jordan. So he's going to change the game 100%. I like how David Benavidez is stepping up, getting more active in some shit talk and growing his fan base, again, making a lot of big fights happen, putting his money where his mouth is. And who else? It's exciting to see the Charlo brothers back. the heavyweight division's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they need to...
It's not fun coming from there right now.
Yeah, I think they need to put more things on the line. But I do like female boxing right now. And Shadeja Green has the opportunity to do something huge as the co-main event on my fight night. You know, fighting for a world championship as a part of MVP. But boxing's in a really good place. Really good place. Which you wouldn't have expected, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
I'm a new fan. I had never watched a boxing match in my whole life. And then obviously I'm in a boxing camp all the time. But
yeah,
it's great. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, and the more you get into it, the sweeter it gets. Just understanding the fighters, understanding the skill sets, the matchmaking, the storylines, you know, seeing people lose, then come back. All of it's just so beautiful.
I encourage every motherfucker who got an opinion on boxing to try it. That shit ain't easy, bro. And everybody I done seen try it, they'll get in there and try to do a 3-minute round and gassed out. You can't throw a punch how you think you could throw a punch, and half the shit you think you could do or you see somebody do wrong, you're a critic. Go try that shit, please. That shit ain't easy.
Yeah.
It's not at all.
It's really not. And I think naturally there's something inside of most men that like makes them think they can fight.
I thought I had the coldest hands in the entire world until I had to relearn how to throw a punch and actually started just diving in just the slightest amount to get fighting experience, like on a personal level. And then I realized like this shit ain't easy. So all the things I see, I'm like, oh, bro, he should have did this, or oh, he sucks. I can't do it.
Yeah. It's the classic meme of the guy on the couch with all the food on his on his stomach.
Start throwing the jab more. He needs to throw the jab more. Didn't somebody text you after one of your fights and like say some dumbass shit like that?
After almost every fight, there's about who was it? I might call him out.
There was one in specific after the Nate fight.
It was like a former NFL player.
Oh, fuck.
Like an old head.
He says, it's like, you should have threw that overhand right or some stupid shit.
Who the fuck is the... Is...
Uh-oh.
He said, I was shocked you didn't throw the overhand earlier in the rounds. The shot was there around 3 to 6 for sure.
It looks easier when you're staring at a fucking TV screen eating some fucking chicken wings. But when you're in there 6 rounds in and you're fucking gassed, a zombie walking at you, you're not even thinking that.
Well, that one specifically just doesn't make any fucking sense because so Nate Diaz had a high guard, which is like this, right? So where would the overhand right land? For all our boxing professionals, so you're taking a look at me here. Where would the overhand land? It would land right here, which is being blocked. For a high guard, you have to come up the middle or through it, not on top of it. But yeah, it's like it just there's always like 3 to 5 people after that like text me some advice that don't have any affiliation with the sport of boxing, which
you,
I find funny.
Do you kind of relate to them as a fellow backseat driver?
Oh
couch,
my god!
What do they call the couch one?
Fucking, I don't know. It's just a couch potato.
Yeah,
that is piece of
you
shit.
Love doing that.
He'll watch,
and you can watch, and you can watch water polo.
Gordon Ramsay cooking some shit. He'll be like, bro, this guy's a fucking idiot. I would have baked that way more efficient and start giving you this whole elaborate fucking way. He would have did better. Somebody fucks up in a game of football, bro, these guys fucking suck. Bro, that's why I need to go to the NFL. Yeah. Hey, bro, shut the fuck up. What's wrong with
well,
you?
So I do that a lot, but I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure it's mostly with football.
Sometimes basketball. And even one time, I'm in
basketball. Basketball, specifically defense.
Yeah.
I'd be watching that shit, and I know for fuck's sure that I could play better defense than a lot of those guys.
We're in the studio one day, and I'm trying to engineer our session, and I'm not a fucking engineer, so I'm working at the best speed I can. And you start telling me something that's wrong, and I go, oh, you want to do it then? You go, no. And I go, then shut the fuck up. Because he's literally behind me like, oh my fucking God. Because I'm not doing something at his pace, like his liking of pace. I can't fucking believe it. And if he took the keyboard and the mouse, he wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, right.
So fuck you. Backseat
man. I did know exactly what to do. I just said specifically I didn't want to do it. You were like trying to drag over.
I don't
want to
argue this. You're going to die on this hill. You got it. You win. You're right.
I'm just saying like you... I'm just, maybe this will help you for the future, though. You were trying to
I think I didn't understand what gaslighting is, but I think this is it.
I swear to God, you are so fucking remarkably out of your mind. It's crazy. It's so crazy.
But you were trying to.
Yes. Dude, these guys are fucking dummies.
You were trying to drag over a vocal when you could have just, like, you just press Command C. And then just click it where you want it and Command V. And you're like trying to drag it like, oh, I missed. Oh, I missed.
Notice how I'm not even arguing this. Right.
I wish I could.
But remember. Yeah, there's been
a couple
this.
That were like out of line. Like it was something that like you've never even done once remotely in your life. But I think it comes from like you're obviously like a very high strung individual that fucking is redlining your way through life. So whenever anybody is not redlining like you, you freak out and you're like, why aren't you redlining? And
yeah. Yeah. Definitely. But I will say the caveat there is all of that, like we can use that clip when I am in the NFL catching touchdowns.
Right.
Like that's when I'm going to come back to this clip and you're going to feel silly.
No, I'm not going to feel silly because I believe in you. And
wait, but then why is it bad if I yell at these people?
Because you're sitting on a fucking couch watching it on
a screen.
No,
but this is the difference, is that like I'm actually a professional athlete. That's where I say it from.
It's real.
And bro, and then look what happens.
What happens?
Tom Brady comes out a week later after I'm screaming at the TV like these fucking NFL players literally suck.
It was like 2 days later, which is
2 days later, Tom Brady comes out and is like, there's a lot of mediocre people in the NFL. And I'm like, see, maybe I'm not so crazy after all.
So I think the disconnect is it's
in today's NFL.
It's one thing to acknowledge it. It's one thing to like look at the NFL and be like, okay, there's a lot of mediocre players. But it's another thing to say that I can do better. Like that you right now can just get in there.
I fully believe that, bro. I went to the Miami Dolphins practice and I'm like fucking hungover. Probably left the club like 4 hours before that. And I'm like looking at these guys practice and there's about half of them who are like phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Couldn't lace up their shoes. And there's literally another half of them who were terrible. Mm-hmm. And like, I just couldn't believe what I was watching. And I was like,
obviously I wasn't there. I have such a tough time believing that. They're in the fucking NFL. They're not terrible. They can't be terrible. They're in the fucking NFL.
You remind me of a on Twitter.
No, this is the thing, bro. This is what I realized. Most of the people in these programs are just like the ones who like saw it all the way through and never gave up on their hopes and dreams and played in the system, were in the right place at the right time, had the right college coaches to get them in, and like just saw it through.
Gotta see it through.
Were in the weight room, did all the right things. And I'm not saying they didn't work for it, but I'm just saying like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing out there.
I mean, okay, it just sounds very contradictory, like everything you stand for and believe in, where it's like fucking hard work is what gets you to the top.
And he's like, I don't even know how these guys got here. This guy's crazy.
I think that's what I'm saying. They worked for it, but like they're not necessarily the most talented or like fastest or have the best hands.
But isn't that exactly what happens? Like you weed out, like that's how people get.
I think a lot
NFL
of people
is
get
like
distracted.
The prestige tier.
That's what you
of
think.
Athlete, and everybody think. That's not that on that level gets weeded out on their way up there, and then you're left with the cream of the crop at the top.
But I don't. I think they get weeded out for many other reasons.
Than
is
just
what I'm
talent.
Saying. I think it's like they want to smoke. They want to do this. They want to get in trouble. They want to not get good grades in college. They, you know, make one false step. They have a bad reputation. They're a little bit of a dickhead.
He was sizing this up while they was together. We was all playing like, bro, let's run some routes. Jake was like, yeah, let's run these routes. just watching like I could be in the NFL. I hope you see.
Well, I hope you do. Yeah, I hope you. I hope you do. Yeah.
And this is why I say specifically, like, when I think I mostly yell at the TV when it comes to football. I think sometimes I joke around, whatever, but basketball, like, I'm not doing anything to these people.
So Cleveland Browns is who you want to get drafted to?
That'd be a fucking vibe.
We'll move to Ohio for a little bit.
Walk on the team.
You want to walk on?
Yeah, you don't get drafted. I'm not in college. Oh,
that's true. That's true. Yeah, damn. You can be a super senior. Fuck it.
It's like it's the story of the kid on the Philadelphia Eagles. The special teams guy.
What happened there?
He like decided he wanted to be in the NFL at like 30 and just had this fucking hustle and tenacity. Mm. And ended up becoming like one of the best special teams players ever. Mm.
I had that thought today at the gym. I don't know why. I was in this weird like thought train of like, I don't know. I was thinking about like being the best at something. And I was like, you know what? I'm 26 years old. I was looking at myself in the mirror too. And I was like looking at how much great of shape I've gotten in the past couple of years. And it was just like this moment of like, I can do anything. And I was thinking, I was like, man, I should probably be the best at something in my life. And I was thinking like, maybe it's an endurance sport. Like maybe, I just think that's like, what a hell of a thing to do with your life. Is like, if I can just fucking, let's say it's a marathon, like fucking be the best marathon runner, finish first in a marathon. Like that's something in life, like being the best at something.
I think it's great to aspire to be the best. Yeah. It'll make you show up every single day.
The reason you just remind me of that was because this guy's 30. This guy's 30 and decided I want to be in the NFL, and he made it happen. And like, I guess like 26, I'm still young, but at sometimes I feel like 26 is too late to start something on a physical front. It's not.
Say it to your fucking 45-year-old self. Like, you'll literally laugh. Like, imagine think of your 45-year-old self saying that, mm-hmm. and you're gonna feel so stupid. Like, oh yeah, Brandon. Like, it's too late. Mm. I'm you in 19 years, you fucking dummy. And yeah, I'm still starting new things today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like a perspective from that
point of view. And there's something so satisfying on the physical front. There's something so fucking satisfying about it.
That's a great goal. I think naturally, I feel like I have that in me for some reason where like no matter what it was that I was doing, I like wanted to be the best in it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm still trying to see this golf shit through. Brooks ain't hit me back about that. I'm trying, you know what I mean, get signed over to, was it Smash?
Yeah,
Brooks hit it back. I DM'd you.
Did you actually?
Yeah, it's never too, bro. He said he'll get me right. I asked if it was too late for me to start golfing.
He's not gonna get you right, Brooks. Don't waste your time, bro. Let him work with a trainer first before he comes.
He could be my trainer. See
how he's, but bro, he's like,
that's like you training me to box.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen,
bro. See, bro, yeah, you get on Where's camera and don't know how to act, bro. Where's you don't believe you have time, bro. You be sitting on your ass like, what do people do all day?
In yeah, when times, I have a fight in like 15 days, yeah, and I'm like,
so you could be training me.
I need to be resting.
Extra work for you. Brooks, hit me back. Don't listen to these. I've been working, and I bought a 9-iron.
So, yeah, this is the Joe Rogan podcast.
This is the Demi Lovato podcast, and we about to do Heron.
Anything else, buddy? Anything else from camp? You were discussing a walkout last night. That I don't know if you can hint at any details, but it was a little fun. A little fun little walkout you got planned.
I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, kind of just came up with it. But I'll give a little hint.
Wow, that has nothing to do with it.
And this room has no air conditioning. It's
just burping. So that wasn't the hint.
Ah, go ahead.
So the hint is, it's Christmas time. So let's get into the Christmas spirit.
Nice.
You're working out some Mariah Carey?
That might be the one, actually.
It's a good guess.
That song is money laundering, by the way. Like, that motherfucker is a money glitch.
Yeah, you just have a song that, like, becomes the number one on the charts
every
year.
For the rest of your life.
I need to figure out some shit like that.
Is your girlfriend coming to your fight?
No.
Damn.
Very upsetting.
How's she doing?
She's doing great.
You miss her?
I miss her a lot.
You guys haven't seen each other in a while, huh?
Yeah, but I'm going to see her after the fight. It's very excited for that.
Does it make you sad she's not there physically?
It does, but I also am happy for her and her goals and how hard she works. And knowing that she's going to be watching means a lot to me. And also, like, taking... I think we just, like, take things for granted. And so it makes me appreciate when I can, like, see her so much more. And when she can come to my fights. But she has a busy ass season.
She just crushed it.
Went crazy.
Yeah. Just won her 1,000 meter. So.
Is there any added nerves when you fight and she is there? Like, do you get a little nervous?
I think.
Yeah, you get nervous. It's okay.
I think I actually get more nervous when she's there at sparring.
Really?
Yeah. Because then it's like, she's like so intimate.
You be looking into the crowd at your fights. I'll be seeing you. Like, at the Nate fight, you kept looking over. I'm like, bro, stop. Like,
do you get nervous when me and Jasper are sparring?
No.
Oh, fuck.
But
it's fucked up.
Definitely, like, I'm thinking about it beforehand, but as soon as the first round starts, like, I'm obviously so locked in. So, yeah, there's definitely more nerves. When she was in the locker room, I wanted to impress her. I wanted to...
Oh, that's so crazy to think about. Fuck.
I wanted to, like, have a great night. You know, so yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but she'll be watching live on DAZN. December 15th, Friday. Orlando, tickets on sale now. Orlando, make sure y'all pull the fuck up. Click the link in the description to buy the tickets.
I think I just came to I had a revelation.
You just came?
I just came everywhere in his room. The moment might get to August.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think so. Like, you never know if these guys are built for stuff like this.
Mm.
But, like, when he's in there and he sees me across from him.
It's make or break for him. Like, he got to do what he got to do.
I would say it's more of a higher probability that he's going to get nervous than to not.
So cool. I got second round knockout. That's my prediction.
Sometimes, because you've been learning how to be composed as recently and not brawl, I'm going to say you like to play with your food sometimes, and I'm sure you want to showcase a little bit of your skill more than you have in your previous fights. I'm going to give it third round stoppage.
That's good. Yeah.
Reasonable.
So we got 1, 2, and 3.
Wow. We can count.
That's crazy.
Good job, guys.
Low five.
Man, I love bullshitting with you guys.
Bullshitting with Jake Paul.
Yeah, we could bullshit a little bit more. What always tends to happen here, at least for me, is like we talk for like an hour and a half. And then right by the end of the hour and a half, I'm feeling like loose and comfortable. Like we just got things going. And then we end it.
I wasn't planning on ending it anytime soon.
Oh, I was.
I don't got shit to do today.
I want to go to the gym.
Come on now. Okay, we did the boxing stuff. Let's talk about something fun now.
Yeah. Something fun.
Molly.
What else, man? Well, this kind of is interesting. You were just talking about getting nervous, talking about him getting nervous. What gets a guy like you nervous? You get on these big stages with all these big, scary people staring at you, watching you, millions of people, millions of dollars on the line. When the guy goes through something like that, what in life gets you nervous? What does it to you?
That's a good question. I would say the first thing that comes to mind is when I haven't seen Yuta in a while.
Oh, this is cute. Yuti.
And then, like, I'm going to, like, see her. I get, like, weirdly nervous.
She'd be
excited.
Calling this Jakey Cakey.
Jakey Cakey, Corn Flaky. Now, we don't have to talk about that. So, Jakey that Cakey. Definitely. And
that's great.
What else? I was nervous for something Oh, I got a little bit nervous to talk to Jordan Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was like, he's gonna psychoanalyze me or mm-hmm. some shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the first time I got nervous in a while, yeah. actually.
And he's like this father figure that is
almost... Yeah, and I look up to him in ways.
Yeah.
That was actually interesting. But even honestly, that's the first time I've been nervous for something in like a year. I can't even think of something else before that.
You don't get nervous when you're around me?
No, maybe I get nervous you're gonna steal something.
Keep it in, please. Keep it in, please.
I say once you box, everything else in life becomes easy. And it's held true. There's definitely nerves leading up to a fight, but like it's not full on nervous. It's just like I'm actually just excited to get to the moment. So I think it's more of like excitement that can be confused as anxiousness.
Your heart don't start racing like when that first bell ring?
No.
You know, like,
that's actually like the calmest moment is when I'm walking out, and then after I get hit for the first time, I'm like, okay, like we're home. This is what I do.
Shit. You really don't get nervous when you're on stage. Wow. I don't think it's for me. I don't think I can do it.
And that is like as of Nate Diaz. Like before, I would get like some types of nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe at the press conferences or some shit, like a little bit of adrenaline coming up.
But I shit when I get nervous. I get the shits when I get really nervous. I'm just thinking about how like that wouldn't be good for me because I would get really nervous. When I get really nervous, I have to run to the bathroom. Like I just have to shit.
Well, that's where the saying comes from. Where like
I'm nervous to shit
myself.
Yeah, I shit my pants.
Yeah,
that's a saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shit my pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just be
shit. I don't shit my pants, but like if I get really nervous, I have to run to the bathroom because I gotta shit. It's like my body starts freaking out. So
yeah,
I'm just thinking if I was on a stage,
you would be a good boxer.
Would it be good?
You would be a terrible boxer. Oh, you'd be a smelly boxer.
Yeah, I don't get like nervous. I would get nervous for that, bro, because I get nervous for your fights. So
yeah,
I'm nervous for that.
I get nervous that. So that's a good thing to bring up is I get nervous as fuck for Logan's fights. Like on fight day, like I was not feeling good when he was at the in
heart
this most
start
recent
jumping.
Fight. Yeah.
I have a question, by the way. What are you doing on February 24th?
He's asking you on a date.
Speaking of stages.
I will most likely be training on that day.
I have a show.
Where's the show at?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Wow.
I'm excited. You have a show? What kind of show? What do you mean a show?
I'm rapping again. I'm back dropping music.
You're a rapper?
Speaking of which, yep, I just dropped two new songs. One, Nobu with Kevin Powers, Pink Slip, out right now. Show on February 24th in Phoenix, Arizona. If you want to come see me jump around on stage.
Go support Kill Jasper.
Why the heck should they go to your show? What's going to be going on at this crazy show?
I'm jumping around on stage for 30 straight fucking minutes, causing mayhem and fucking creating mosh pits. And I'm the greatest performer, greatest performing emerging artist you will see today. And I know that.
Wow. Can I go?
You can come. Absolutely.
Wow.
You guys should shoot like some shit for the show there.
That would be fucking sick. That'd be very sick.
Congratulations, man. Pink Slip is an amazing song.
Yeah.
And I heard one of your unreleased songs that you made the other night. Very incredible. I like when you do hooks on your songs.
Yeah.
I think the hooks is really
good. I'm making longer songs because you guys chewed me out for it, so I'm trying to
please make longer songs.
Yeah. I got it. Album's gonna be like 30 minutes. Album is dropping January 26th, my birthday.
In all seriousness, he's one of the most talented people I have ever met in my whole life. Like really.
I'm just incredibly fucking lazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you're working on it.
And I am.
If you put out more music, I really think you would be one of the top artists in the world. If you weren't here, I would say this. You're one of the most talented people I know. It's incredible. Your music is incredible.
Yeah, you just got to push yourself.
Yeah, I'm trying
to the extremes.
Right now. I've what's crazy is I've never fully pushed myself and like gave myself like that real dedication, because it's always just kind of worked. Like talent has carried me further than anything, so I, like, it gave me a lot of like leniency, like I could chill because like the talent is taking me there. But I realized that I'm tired of being in this little place. I've enjoyed it for like far too long, and I want to just give myself that shot at just pushing myself. I'm not a little fucking kid anymore. I'm about to be 23, bro. Yeah. Like, there's no more vacation time. There's no more like, oh, bro, you're young, you're doing so good. Like, I'm a grown ass man.
Well, this is great. And saying all these things publicly will hold you accountable.
Ooh, fuck. That's so true. Yeah. God damn.
So now, like, you have to drop the album on
January 26th. Oh, no. I want to drop that on my birthday. I have to. Absolutely.
You are.
No, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Yes. It'll be completed by the time Ben leaves.
What's your goal with music?
I just want good music to be heard. And day by day, I start to realize how much guidance the youth is lacking in terms of, like, what they're consuming and like what is more prominent on media, like just all these little dumbass kids. And the kids who are consuming it are so susceptible to it, and that's who they start to be like. And I don't know, like, I just feel like alongside you guys in your way, I could be somebody's guidance in my own way, and also just show them from a person who was at one point very scared to fail, who had everything in my hands, and someone who came from literally fucking nothing. I was homeless. Mom's a drug addict. Dad's a gangbanger. I live in fucking South Central. You know, like, I just feel like somebody needs to be that voice. And I feel like there's too much of that, like, mystique, ominous, too cool, like, vibe going on from a lot of artists. And I just feel like, I don't know, like, kids need something more positive to be a fan of, and I know I could be that.
I love that.
Man, oh fuck, man, I was just about to do some bullshit. You know how everybody posts their Spotify Wrapped on their story and thinks people care and they don't care? I was just about to ask you guys on a podcast about your Spotify Wrapped.
Get a job.
Yeah,
bum ass.
Maybe just real quick, music recommendations. What was your guys' favorite project of the year?
It's called Learn to Swim by Redville. Fucking 10 out of 10 front to back.
Jake?
Best project this year?
Yeah, your favorite project. While you're searching that, I'll go ahead and say mine is Forward by Jordan Ward.
I think I got to go with Her Loss.
Drake. Big Drake guy.
Good pick.
Yep.
Fighter.
It's an inside joke. Maybe some context.
Yeah, I saw Drake at his concert, and he just like walked by me, and he goes, "Fighter," and I was like, "Man, what a guy!" That's the most Drake thing.
Right. Bro didn't even say what's up. No, he just goes, "Fighter." Fighter.
I was like, "What's up, bro?" He goes, "Fighter."
What?
I love him. He's so funny.
Shout out Drake, man. Great guy.
Fighter.
Fighter.
Next time I see you, I'm just gonna go rapper.
Thanks, bro. So random. Amazing show though. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, he's one of a kind. I wonder when he's going to start going after Elvis, right? Because he's kind of been doing the Michael Jackson thing where it's like, we have the same amount of hits. Or maybe he's one of, I think they're tied at 13 Billboard number ones.
Yeah, he was supposed to have 14, but they didn't count.
Sicko Mode.
Yeah.
So I think when he gets like one or two more, he's going to start going after Elvis and being like...
Does Elvis have more accolades than Michael Jackson?
Elvis has like 19 or 18 Billboard number one hits. So,
and that's it after that. Is there anybody else? Female?
Female. The biggest is, I believe, Mariah Carey or
it's that
Rihanna.
Fucking Christmas song. Every fucking year. Christmas is every year.
That's only
year.
One of them, though. So,
she got like 22.
Yeah, that shit's probably 20 times Diamond. Like, fuck.
No, I think it has to be 22
different songs that went number one. But yeah, I think I'm interested. I'm excited for Drake to start going after Mr. Elvis. And like, the Elvis references are going to be fire.
But then what? Then what is he, beef with Mariah Carey? Does he start dissing Mariah Carey on his songs?
Actually, no, I fuck with Taylor Swift. I was about to say some petty shit. She hard. Which, she had 23 billion streams last year.
Wow.
Drake had like 11.
Wow. Wow. Who is the average Taylor Swift?
H&M. Person? It's too many fucking H&Ms in the world, and they just be playing that shit all day. Like, there's nobody actually listening. It's H&M, bro.
Somebody must be listening. It's fucking, apparently, it's billions H&M of people
and
are.
Forever 21 and fucking PacSun. They have a playlist, and it spins all fucking day. What are the odds 1 through 10 you chug that?
All right.
Showdown, let's go.
I got it. I know the number.
No.
I know
the already?
Number. Yep. One, two, three, eight.
It's 7 p.m. right now. It's 7 p.m.
What the fuck?
I got it. Sunday.
I saw it in your fucking eyes.
What the fuck?
I saw it in your fucking eyes.
All right, drink Celsius. Live fit.
Live fit, baby.
Yeah, some ASMR would be nice.
ASMR. I'm bad at chugging, so I need like two.
This is getting wild in the training camp. This is what getting wild
drinking
is.
Drinking hella caffeine.
I be going up to them like, yo, y'all want to drink caffeine and see what happens?
And I'll be looking at him like, bro, what?
Like, leave me alone.
I'm going to record you one day, and I hope we could just get the clips put in one of these podcasts where you start jumping around and geeking out of nowhere. And just like yesterday when he stood up off the couch, like, what the fuck?
You know what? I don't even think about it. Because the other day, I just realized now that we were having a conversation about something in the kitchen. And for 80% of the conversation, you were standing on the kitchen counter. But I didn't even question it or think anything of it while it was happening until right now.
Yeah. I'm a weirdo. Bryce, I'm a weirdo.
You be out your mind. My,
but that's just the way my brain works is like, bro, I don't even know. I don't understand it at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like there's no like boundaries in the world or something. Like, I could just do whatever I want.
If
I want to stand somewhere or something, I don't know. Like, I'm just like, fuck it. Like,
no, it's good. It's good. I guess it's tweaking when I'm in the car alone. I really, it's like really out of hand.
Every time I really get the tweaking is in my room. I put my speaker on and I start performing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In my room by myself. Mm-hmm. Whole hour long performance. In the mirror talking about, let's go. Sit your little fat ass down. What do you have going on?
It's fine here.
What?
Care to elaborate?
This is, I'm just going to finish up the pod here.
Let me help you out, buddy.
This is like stuck on something. It's fine. Jesus. Yeah, just because this won't really reach me. I have to like bend over.
Are you
there we go.
Are you closing us out?
No, I'm just getting, I thought the pod was just starting.
We're just heating up.
I have a job.
Because, see, like, this is the thing, though. This is where, like, creativity stems from. Mm-hmm. Is imagine if you had a podcast that wasn't getting as many views or something. And, like, you and your homies just did it standing on the chairs like this. Like, 30 minutes at a time. People would be like, yo, what the fuck is going on? This is interesting.
Yeah, right. I should join you, yeah?
You guys should get up here.
Yep.
Because we're starting a new thing here. It's called standing.
I'm standing pods. I actually like sitting down.
But that's not what the show is about.
No, I know, but like there has to be like the odd one out.
Yeah, it might be good to offset the balance.
Yeah.
Because if we're just like preaching, how's the wide angle? Does it get us all in there? So if we're just, you know, like if we're just spitting facts from up here,
yeah,
it just feels.
I feel like you guys think you're above me or something.
That way you're perfectly welcome to stand up.
Yeah, see, we're not placing ourselves above you, but you're kind of like playing a victim role.
Mm. On some like liberal shit, huh?
Yeah. Mm. But
you are my most liberal homie. You're not even going to I'm not allowing you to put that narrative out to the fucking world. I would never vote for that sleepy ass or none of that shit that's going on. Fuck no, we need Trump back in there. Because even when I was scamming and finamming before I was learning,
scamming
that had me rich. But I ain't going to say how. But
for sure.
Uncle Trump, we miss you.
If you had to give a piece of advice to your younger self, what would you?
Don't do fentanyl.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Piece of advice to my younger self, I would say, listen to your mother when she tells you that delayed gratification is a crucial part of finding success in life.
Mm-hmm. We just got.
I can't tell you how many times, because I was the very impulsive, need it now kid. Yep. And I cannot tell you how many times my mom said, practice delayed gratification, practice delayed gratification. I mean, she said it so many times, it was like a broken record. But I'm a kid and I'm like, yeah, sure, mom. Like, that's what you think, but I'm going to get it now and I need everything right now. And then I grew up and
yeah,
realized.
That's fire, hey, grammar.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say, I'll go back and tell myself, don't eat so much when you get money and don't be scared to fail.
What I would have told your younger self is to stand up while you're talking. You know, like, say it with your chest. Mm-hmm. Like, stand on business. Like me and him are standing on business.
Do y'all ever sit down?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Especially when I have a lot of text messages to answer and I know it's going to be a long pee. And then also when it's like a 50-50, if you know what I mean? Like, if you don't know if you're going to be, like...
shitting and pissing?
Yeah.
I'm
if
not...
You kind of have to do... Like, if you have a big fart in there... Then you have to like sit down to see if like something's gonna
thumbs up
come out.
I'm not gay, by the way, but I remember one day, I don't even remember where we were. You and I went to the bathroom and I peed, quick pee, boom. You peed for maybe like a minute and a half, just straight, just pissing.
Yep.
Why did you feel the need to say I'm not gay?
Cause like just like monitoring my homeboy's cock is a little like deranged.
I just didn't look at it like that. I would have looked at it like you were just hearing me pee for a long time.
No, but like just like monitoring, like just like what's the homie doing with his wiener? Like that's not my concern.
Well, that's not what hearing somebody peeing is. But now it sounds like you've been monitoring his cock.
Now it's a little bit weird.
Damn.
And the fact you had to preface it.
I might be gay, but you do pee for a long time.
I do have an extremely large bladder. And that's why I like to pee outside, because I don't want to stand and aim for that long in the small little toilet area. Right. So I pee outside. I have extremely large bladder. I'm like a camel. Even in my fights, in between rounds, mm-hmm. I barely take sips of water because I just don't need it. I'm just like, yeah, I'm good. Got a lot of reserve bladder in there.
That's what's up.
Which is one of my best qualities, if you guys didn't know that about me.
I thought that about you when we met.
Yeah.
This nigga got a cool bladder.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, that is one of your most redeeming qualities.
I couldn't agree more.
You guys are like overwhelming me with compliments, but thank you.
I have more.
No, stop it. Stop it.
The way that
here he goes.
The way that sometimes when you do that thing, like when you and Jasper are kissing each other, but you compliment his hair, that is like always like super nice to see.
Do I be asleep when this be going on?
It's okay. It's okay.
You guys are looking down on me right now.
Then stand up, brother. And that was poetry.
That was fucking poetic. Hmm. Snaps. See, I just think we're proving a valid point here about marketing and differentiating yourself as podcasts, because I feel like as soon as we stood up, the viewership spiked and like people are just so much more engaged with what we have to say.
Yeah,
because we're presenting it differently than others. So that's just my advice to all the startup podcasts out there.
Is stop.
This angle would be hilarious if you can't see our heads. If it's just like, just cut off. Maybe for the editor, that might be funny, is whenever you cut to the wire, like, just crop it in so you can't see our heads.
Just the bottom of our mouths.
Yeah. What would you tell your fucking younger self? You just like skipped over it.
I would tell my younger self,
don't jump on that news van.
Don't set the pool on fire.
Stay out of that Arizona mall.
What the fuck?
I would tell my younger self to shut the fuck up, you little fucking peasant little bitch. You think you're hot shit. Literally die in a fucking hole, you worthless sack of shit. You're balding. You're fucking nothing. You're literally a fucking peon infant little young stupid bitch. And you'll never amount to anything one day. And you should shut the fuck up when you're talking and fucking grow some, take some biotin so your fucking hair doesn't fucking dissolve. You little horse-headed Donald Trump-haired motherfucker. You fucking
can
dumbass.
Can I ask you a question?
Shut the fuck up when I'm talking, dog.
Do you think you now, if you met your younger self, if you met your younger self, you now, do you think you would like that guy?
How young? Like what age?
Like 20.
I'm not going to lie. I'd fuck with him.
That's good.
That's what's up, man.
Do you think we should do a performance?
Sure.
Like, because it feels like
fly me to the moon. Let me sing.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
Yeah.
In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore.
Can I go now?
Utah's all I ask for, all I worship and adore. In other words,
bro,
baby, kiss me. In other words, I love you.